Excellent. Thank you for coming today. It's the longest title I've ever used, so I kind of shortened it a little bit to talk a little bit about the hypercorrection effect study on gardening myths or misconceptions. And this sounds maybe a little bit more than what it actually is. And I'm going to begin by saying I am one of the professors on this. We're both from Iowa State University, and I worked with this project with a professor in psychology and a couple of grad students as well. Before I begin, too, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to shout out answers. And as quickly as possible, I've only got 12 minutes, right? Mary's going to keep me on task. So, first off, what is the largest desert on Earth? Sahara. Good. What is the capital of Canada? Oh, good. Very good. You were only wrong on one, okay? Which is actually pretty good. Most of our undergraduate students, when they're asked this question, they come up with Toronto. 78% come up with Toronto as the capital of Canada. And Sahara is a large desert, but Antarctica is actually larger. Very good. So, and I did hear a couple of those. So these are some common misconceptions, and you kind of lived it here for just a second or two. These misconceptions are associated with prior knowledge, and because of how quickly you responded to those answers, you had some pretty high confidence in your answers at the time, even though they're wrong. Okay? One of the things that the hypercorrection effect, Butterfield and Metcalf came up with the fact that if it is a misconception that you have with high confidence and that error, then you're actually more likely to fix it or change it. There's a lot of theory as to why, with a corrective feedback, why you would remember that and change it. One of them is that you maybe were a little bit embarrassed, you were a little engaged, and in that you remember that you were wrong, right? So the other thing that psychologists, when they work on the hypercorrection effect, and they term this hypercorrection effect in fixing those high confidence errors, they always use trivia questions like the two that we just used. And those are two of the most popular that they usually get wrong the most. And Dr. Carpenter and I were thinking, well, that's great, but that doesn't actually get us to something relevant into our world and in horticulture. And we all know that gardening, there are tons of misconceptions and myths out there, and there are quite a few books that are actually written on it or explaining some of those common misconceptions. These are some of the garden misconceptions that my students hear about or think about, that a peony flower can't open unless an ant helps it out. So a lot of these are kind of common misconceptions that are out there. So we decided to take a look at some of these misconceptions and do students or does the hypercorrection effect work with gardening misconceptions? So do students correct those high confidence errors on gardening misconceptions more frequently than those low confidence errors? So does this translate, in a sense, to horticulture? I decided to do this with my home horticulture class. This is another freshman level class, Hort 121. It's offered both fall and spring semesters. It meets twice a week on Monday and Wednesday afternoon for 2 credits. It's considered a service course, so it's not required for any major, not even the horticulture major, but there are some majors that do get life sciences credits for taking it. Generally, there's 70 to 90 students who take it a semester, so it's a nice crowd. They did get 5 extra credit points for completing the survey, and out of 400 or 500 points, that wasn't much. But I'll show you how effective that was. The survey was administered the first week of class before we talked about any of these things. Okay. We did offer an online survey through Qualtrics, both semesters, spring and fall. I think the abstract in the ASHS book or website only talks about the spring, but we did it again this fall as well. There are 53 questions on the survey. Seems like a lot, but they're, once again, short answer or true-false questions, so they were pretty quick through them. About half for each of those. And then after each question, we ask them to rate their confidence on this question. So you answer, do peonies need ants, or peonies need ants to assist in flowering? They answer true, false, and then they rate their confidence. 1 to 7 was the scale. 7 meant they were very confident in their answer. After that, we did give them feedback on both the correct and incorrect answers very quickly. So tells them whether they were correct or whether they were incorrect, and tell them why if they were incorrect. Very short feedback. So we wanted them to be able to do this survey in about 30 minutes, and most of them did. And then we give them the survey again. Immediately after, they go through the survey again without the confidence questions, but ask the same questions essentially again. So some of the results, I should say that on this kind of confidence scale, we did group those that were 1 through 3 on their scale as low confidence responses, and those at 5, 6, or 7 as high confidence responses. I need to tell you a little bit of something about the class, or a little bit about that demographic. There were 77 in the spring and 88 in the fall. I don't know how I worked that, but it worked out really well. 5 extra credit points gave us at least 75% response rate or better both times. CAL stands for the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, so the students within the College of Ag usually accounted for most or more than half of the class. It's a little bit more in the fall because our horticulture freshmen take this class, so that accounts for a little bit of an increase in the CAL students and a little bit of the decrease in this junior and senior level. So even though this is a 100-level class, for freshmen, we have a lot of juniors and seniors outside horticulture that take it. And about half are female and half are male. So one of the reasons why I did this was to see if we could, and continue to do this, if it caused learning, right? So we look at the percent or proportion of answers that were answered correctly both in fall and spring, and this is from the fall data only. And yes, on both the short answer and the true-false, they did remember or learn more on the post-test. So you can see it at, you know, 30% or 40 or 50%, they're flunking initially and doing quite well afterwards. And then we start to take a look at that proportion of the high and low confidence errors that are corrected. So on those questions in the pre-test that they got wrong, we look at those based on their low or high confidence and how many of those they corrected in the post-test, because they did correct quite a few. And with the short answer, this is in the spring of 2017, we did find a significant difference between those high confidence errors and the low confidence errors. They did correct the high confidence error questions more frequently, so it worked. In the spring, though, we also found there was really no difference between the true and false questions. When we did this again this fall, we found significant differences in both. The short answer and the true-false questions, they were more likely to correct that response if they had a high confidence in that error after the fact. We also did a not only the bar graphs and looking at some kind of differences between the high confidence and the low confidence. This fall, we actually did a correlation analysis, a gamma correlation analysis on both of these. And there were significant differences from the initial low confidence ratings through the high confidence ratings for both the short answer and the true-false questions. I think we did a really good job. We actually probably did a better job this fall in asking the questions. We did tweak a few of the questions between spring and fall, mostly those short answer questions, to make them a little more specific so that we have fewer partial credit answers or limit that. So some of the conclusions that we came up with on this were that the students do show a significant hypercorrection effect When we put this to something that's relevant to their career, so it doesn't have to be trivia, it doesn't have to be something that they can do in the lab, that this same time hypercorrection effect can happen in our classrooms as well. The type of question may be important. We saw that first spring that the true-false, we didn't find any differences. And maybe that's because true-false is a 50% chance of getting it right anyway, and we had less chance of incorrect or correct errors that we could actually use for that end to do that hypercorrection effect. That may be actually part of it. Questions where the students have to generate an answer requires a little more thought, requires some thinking, and it's less likely that they're working the odds, I guess you could say. What does this mean in horticulture? The cognitive psychologist, Dr. Carpenter, is really excited about it because it is something that we're proving that it can work outside of a lab with trivia questions, just repeating over and over, that these common misconceptions might be a way to overcome them just by asking them about their confidence in their answer and then refuting it. That misconception is saying, well, yes, that's a good idea, but this is how it really works. So just pointing it out and taking a little time to give that kind of feedback. Remember, this survey took 30 minutes, and this was all before instruction with the class, and we saw increased learning, and we kind of reduced some of those misconceptions, which is pretty nice for something that quick. What we'd like to do next is look at the long-term retention of that. So one of the things we're hoping to do this semester is give the survey again at the end of the class where we actually discuss some of these common misconceptions or these myths and see if they still remember that. And I can also track a little bit of this because I have exams where I ask some of these questions to see how they're performing on those exams academically. So it's something a little bit interesting and something I think we could all use as educators, very easy to do, just to kind of determine what that prior knowledge is and then maybe addressing it sometime in the semester. I don't know what time it is. Yeah, it's time for questions. So what questions do you have? They are. Right, where they have these strong biases or opinions. And I haven't asked those questions. These are, once again, 100-level class. I want them to think about some of those common misconceptions and think about where they're getting their information. Because a lot of these come from an aunt or grandmother or Google, right? So we're thinking about where we're getting our information. That's the first thing. It would be nice to take it to the next step and look at those opinions and biases and yes, where do those come from? That's probably a little more complicated. So great idea. You can do it at Cornell. How's that? Other questions? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, and one of the other things that I'm doing in class two is I'm using top hat clickers to ask these questions as well. So hopefully I've got several different data points that progress throughout the semester to say, yes, the percentage that they're getting correct and if they're continuing to keep that correction, that hypercorrection. It would be nice. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm working on that. Yes, I will.
So if the 30 minutes is both of the surveys.
Both of the surveys.
And how long, you said this is for any learning.
Right. Right. So the first week of the semester, I talk about it the first day of the semester, and by the following Monday at 3 o'clock, it's off. It's off. Yeah. So they get it right there the first week. They can do it at any time. It's an online, and it's usually pretty quick. Yeah. And then I get a list at the end who's completed the survey, which means both of them, the pre and the post. Mm-hmm. And Qualtrics does that fairly easily. Mm-hmm. Other questions? Awesome. Thank you.